You know what, brother?
What?
We live in this world, dude, where everybody could be anything they want, right?
I certainly hope so.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, I have a lot of things I want to be.
Exactly. But, well, like let's narrow it down. Let's fine tune it a bit to like...
Like a man. Because my dad always tells me I'm not.
Yeah, just like that, dude. Not that you're not, but that anybody could be a man, right?
Right, sure.
And we could transition.
Sure.
We're in that age, that day and age where anybody could transition. You could be, if you're a man, you could be a woman.
Okay.
And if you're a woman and you want to be a man, you could do that as well.
Sure.
And we're having, it's a tough pill to swallow, but we are working on swallowing the transracial pill, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think a good majority of the country is wrapping their head around how we can move forward together. Yeah.
All right, dude. And I want our listeners to know, dude, that we don't rehearse this shit. This is breaking news, dog. I'm transitioning.
I have no idea what's going to come out of your mouth right now.
I'm transitioning, dude.
You are.
I want to be something other than I am.
Well, you said you wanted to be a gay man in your older age.
No, I don't want to be. I'm just willing to accept that that's a possibility. But I don't necessarily want to be a gay man in my older age.
Oh, okay.
But this is what I'm going to do, dude. I'm transitioning to, like, I've practiced, I've worked at it. This is not ill-rehearsed, dude. Like, I didn't just put on a skirt one day and decide to be a woman. I've really worked hard at what I want to transition into.
And what is it you want to transition into?
I want to be a law-abiding citizen, dude.
Pardon my hard laughter.
No, dude, most people
would, I'm sure.
I'm transitioning into someone who's been through the system, dude, who's jumped the hoops, been through the rings, into a law-abiding system. I'm trans priors. That's what I am.
Trans priors.
Yeah. I no longer have the priors because I have worked on and rehearsed what a stand-up citizen would do. And that's what the fuck I am now, dude. I'm trans priors, dude.
Well, welcome to the team. I think I'm on the same team. Given my previous early 20s and ending up in destinations I did not want to end up in, I'm right there with you.
Right?
Yeah, it's a good decision, I think. I think it's a great transition. I support this.
Trans priors.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to Pound Town. We're going to Pound Town.
Yeah!
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick in your face perspective. It's like that's the Ryu one.
That was a combo.
Oh, okay, cool.
That was a combo.
Got it.
From Killer Instinct.
Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who wasn't celebrating election results because he'd rather plan a heist with his dog, Motion.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. The thing is, my dog, I don't think, so my dog's poodle, right? And it looks at me in a way that you would think someone speaks English looks at you.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure he only speaks French. He's looking at me right now, like, it's a crew. Like, he's raising his eyebrows. Like, he gets excited when I have something with, like, a little bit of an accent. By the way, also, I think because of this dog, I'm convinced that carne asada is French. He's looking at me right now like, are we talking? Busting my fake Chinese accent.
They meet.
Accents are the worst, dude. I wish I could do one.
I need alcohol to find the confidence to give it a go.
Oh, well, you guys found out what I've been doing tonight. Hey, I had a quick question. Before we get the show on the road, I would like to knock it off the rails immediately.
Oh,
your wife, wonderful lady, beautiful, intelligent person. Does she have
yeah, judges? Yeah, that is true. Okay.
Yeah, she's the judges. So in case you, listeners, in case you didn't, does she have eaten clothes?
Eating clothes?
No, not eating clothes. Eaten clothes. So Natalie's into this new shit where like, when food comes out, she puts on like a very loosey-goosey black sweater. It's like, let me get my eating clothes on. Some legging, you know? Not eating clothes, but like eating clothes, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
Oh.
No, and here's the reason why. Because my wife will eat whenever.
And whatever.
However, if there's food present, it's go time.
No, mine too. But she still makes the 5 second costume change like Britney Spears between two different songs. You know what I mean?
No, my wife does not do that. She only does that when it's like time to like super chill. Then she has like her sweats and she has her t-shirt. Like it's like, oh, okay, we're done for the night. Okay, I got you. Okay, what? We're not going anywhere. Got it. Okay, decision has been made.
If you're a listening female spouse, let it be known that it's natural to have or not have eaten clothes.
Do you have eaten clothes?
No, it's pretty much what the fuck I'm wearing. Like, I just, you know what's funny is like, as I grow, I'm definitely not even pretending, getting to be a bigger man as life goes on, you know?
Yeah.
But I've never really, I don't indulge. Like, I don't eat much. I'll never eat a big plate. I'll never serve myself a second time. It's fucking insane that like if I had a real appetite, I'd probably be a 400 fucking pound, 5'7", 5'8", half German, half Mexican dude. I'm just not a big eater. Like I don't enjoy the feeling of full. Like I really don't.
That's true. Yeah, I don't enjoy the feeling. I like being content. I don't like being full.
I've also haven't had bread in 10 years. I don't like pasta. I'll have a slice of pizza maybe once a month, and that's because I have three sons. And if you don't give them pizza every 10 days, they fucking turn into wet Willy Wonkas. No, not wet Willy Wonkas, wet gremlins.
Okay, yeah.
So I do weird. You know what though? I will say my physicality was a lot better when I had given up soda.
Oh, I've also just recently given up soda because I really got to kick back the caffeine again. But yeah, I feel pretty fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I'd be a fucking fat ugly bastard if I did like. But I do. I have my vices. You know. You know.
I'm notorious anyway, for not eating.
That's how I am. Like
my closest friends remind me to eat because they know.
And you know what? You know what it's about.
You didn't eat today.
I feel like I always feel like the entertainment. If there's four or more people around, I feel like I gotta like shuffle and jive, massa. Like I'm just I would rather y'all eat and I'll do the show, you know? I just want people to love me. I don't know why. It's just that I didn't get enough hugs or something growing up, to be honest with you. How many minutes into this episode are we?
Well, we're pretty in. We're pretty far in. But if there's anyone That's who needs a hug. If anyone who needs a hug is Donald Trump. And
does he ever?
He needs a hug, man. He needs a hug and just that really strong bear hug where you just like, you have to like give him a little bit of a shake. And like, dude, just let it go. Just let
is
it
he
go.
Like, is he like though from like the older brother from Step Brothers when you go to hug him? He loves it. And he goes, "Get off me, faggot." You know, like but he loves it, right? For a second.
Oh yeah.
How's he feeling? How does he come out of this, dude? All right. So we like look, dude, there is Trump supporters who listen to us, and there are Trump supporters who don't, and there are Trump supporters who accept defeat, and there are Trump supporters who in some weird way think it's not over yet. But of all of that, negate it. How does Trump, he himself, the person, what's his next step? And I'm not saying from like a logical standpoint. If you were Trump as himself, not you being Trump as yourself, what's the next move, dude?
I'd be doing exactly what he's doing right now. Don't
be the only white guy to hang himself from the White House, right?
I certainly would not be opposed. I think he's just stalling. He's just waiting and just trying to figure out what his next move is. And until he's made a decision, he's just not going to do anything. And he's just going to ignore reality until he's able to make the reality that he wants, which is what he excels at.
What's the reality that he wants? He wants the second term?
He just wants to stay in power. He doesn't want second term. He wants power. He wants people to grovel at his feet and just, you know, when I say jump, you say how high. And that just applies to everybody.
Do you think that we are dealing with what would have inadvertently happened, because he wouldn't get a third term? You know, like, so are we just ripping the Band-Aid off now?
He'd give it a go. If he won the second term, I guarantee he'd go for a third term.
I get that. And I know, like, the anti-Trump people, or I don't know, whatever. Anyone who wanted Trump to lose, I wouldn't even call him anti-Trump people, because I think there's a shitload of Republicans that would want him to lose too. They all say that. Right. But we know our system is way too intricate to allow someone to entertain that possibility. Like, there was no fucking way he was going to get a third term. I know there's a lot of people who would like to say that he would entertain the idea of being a Caesar.
Yeah.
But so are we just ripping that Band-Aid off now? Like, I'm committed to the idea that the country just got way too loosey-goosey, and we hired the super DA, the super cop, and the crime bill fucking author to, like, tighten us back up and get us all back to jail when we break the law. But, like, really, was there really an option or a thought that Donald Trump would be, like, a lifetime fucking manager of this country?
To him, he thought so.
Oh, yeah, to him. Yeah, well, yeah.
I think the diehards were going to be okay with it because, you know, if you're the victor, you're okay with, you know, remaining on top. But like you said, you know, the system itself, it's built in a way that it won't be allowed or tolerated, and it's not going to happen. It just fucking can't. I mean, there's just way too much that won't allow it to happen. So he's just counting down the time, you know, until he's out.
Can I get your visceral reaction on something?
Yes. Okay. Extra visceral.
Yes, please. Like, honestly, like, I know you're a big thinker and you like to, like, digest what was said, but somebody texted this to me and it hit me viscerally, and my reaction is predictable, but I would love your reaction, so I want your reaction as quickly as possible. It's not a bait. I'm not joking. It's gotcha. Not this is not a bit. He texts me, remember, you are not a Democrat or Republican, you vote Democrat or Republican.
Yeah. The end. Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, given this current moment, yeah, I am not a Democrat. I am a registered Democrat.
Yeah.
Because
that's not overworking Democrat, right? Like,
I'm not going to vote down ticket.
What does that phrase mean? Does that mean that you have to get paid? Like, you're not a Republican until you cash a Republican check? Or what does that statement exactly mean to you?
You're not a Republican? I think that it means that you're not, like you said, like just vote down ticket. Like, this is my team, this is my squad, and, you know, Democrats all day, every day. I think that's a narrow-sided way of looking at things.
What it meant to me was that he was trying to, like, check us and remind us, like, because we argue, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you're a lib, you're a Trump supporter. And he's like, no, none of us are any of this. We just vote that way or not that way. And it'd be me cherry picking, as Christians do, that, like, you're not a Democrat or Republican. I'll take that as gospel. But you vote Democrat or Republican. That part to me was sarcastic. You see what I'm saying? Like, remember, you're not actually a Democrat or Republican. You just lean that way, or you just work that way, you enforce that way. But in reality, like, none of us cash Democrat or Republican checks. Is how I took it, was what I understood from it. And it evoked a very visceral reaction. Like not illness, but, like, you know, like a gag. Like, oh, that's gross. Like, I felt it in my belly.
Yeah, I think I'm just not, I guess, invested in it. Like, I can go into a conversation and someone says, oh, you're a lib. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, well, first and foremost, let's dial that back. I want to be identified as a human first.
Well, let's not be dismissive.
What do you mean?
like when someone goes, you're lib or you're Trump supporter, they're being dismissive. They're saying everything you say on from this point is I write off.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, let's not be dismissive. Let's actually converse.
Yeah. And I think that's where the key lies in progress. I think, you know, like Republicans, Democrats, independents, libertarians, all the above, every American wants to get across the finish line of success and success for their loved ones, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for themselves and their loved ones. I think we all want the same thing. And it's just a matter of how we accomplish that. And some people are very willing to take advantage of others to ensure that other people cannot have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think that's where the problem lies. And automatically we're assuming that that other person is of that ill will.
Yeah.
And it isn't. You just got to take a step back. And I not too long ago, just before Halloween, I went with my son on a walk. And there's a particular cul-de-sac in my neighborhood. And there's like four Trump flags flying in their front lawns. And they had some dope-ass Halloween decorations. So naturally, I take my son over there and we're checking out the decorations. And one of the families come out from the Trump flag homes. And we're talking Halloween. We're talking shop and just have nothing to do with the fact that they're waving a Trump flag. Am I looking at it? Am I disappointed in it? Am I kind of like, yeah, absolutely. But the conversation that I'm having with them talking about Halloween and how my son is enjoying their Halloween decor on their front lawn has nothing to do with the Trump flag. So I didn't bring it up. They didn't, you know, look down upon me for being, you know, a person of color. It was nothing. It was just two Americans talking about fucking Halloween. It was great. And I think if we just had that mentality further, it'd be okay. We need to just understand each other. I had a close friend of mine. I think I brought this up on a previous episode where she was a Trump supporter. And I respect this person dearly. Learned a lot from this person. I consider them a mentor, and they voted for Trump. You know, a lot of people are like, if you voted for Trump, man, fuck you and fuck everyone. Just straight, like you said, dismissive.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know the typecast of Trump supporter fitting my friend. And because they don't fit, I'm not going to try to put her into that role because that's not who she is. Granted, we've never talked about it. I never asked her why she supported Trump. But all I know is that she has her reasons, and that's that. Well, it shouldn't have to change the dynamic of our relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And but also it could, because I fucking hate making the parallels to Nazis. But one day it could very well be what's the guy who led the Nazis? The guy Hitler. It could be a Hitler-esque type person. Which who I think so undeservingly got accredited to Trump. You know, like, you're just like, oh, if you like them, you're a Nazi. So, like, that can lead into that, like, question of character, you know?
Yeah, he was more Mussolini than he was Hitler, but continue.
Well, I think Mussolini's, oh, I get it. Never mind. But, well, first of all, I would like to say as a gay black man that I was trying to joke out there. No, but I'm glad, like again, I come from the school which I apparently established and have tried founding, that it is the system's fault that these are our options.
Yeah.
Don't blame your neighbors, especially for who they credit. Because guess what? What if, like, honestly, like, if your neighbors most important fucking thing that they believed in was pro-life. Would you really hate them for that? Like, you're pro-life. Guess what? Abortion is kind of shitty. Like, it is a girl's right to choose. I'm with it a million percent. But if the one fucking thing that you support Republicans on is because you think that, like, every inception should get an opportunity to blossom, I could fault Democrats for way more things. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And because you didn't entertain the idea, because you didn't get into the conversation, you didn't really find out why they're hanging Trump, and nobody would ever hang a Trump flag over strictly pro-abortion. I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Sure.
But you got an opportunity to learn somebody that you normally wouldn't fucking, you know, get to know. And maybe you have a good neighbor out of that, you know? They're probably not going to make good barbecue. I don't think Trump supporters barbecue well. But they probably make killer reservations, right?
But at least we're not going to have a restraining order. As did one Trump supporter did. So a Trump supporter filed a restraining order against his neighbors, who he claims taunted him over Joe Biden's election win. So this person says he took legal action after being harassed, and he was said that he was being mocked. And the restraining order requires his neighbors to stay 100 feet away from his phone. Oh, phone, Jesus. 100 feet away from his home, which I'm not really sure is possible if you're fucking neighbors. But I digress. He even called the police after the neighboring children chanted about Mr. Biden's win to upset his own children. And he was quoted as saying, "I'm tired of getting harassed all the time. My kids don't want to come outside anymore. Neighbors wrote BLM and LGBTQ and chalk on the pavement outside my home." And I'm just like, you know, I see this story and as a identified liberal who's anti-Trump, I'm supposed to say, fuck that Trump supporter. You know, I'm just kind of like, and maybe step back and just kind of like, come on, y'all. We don't need to do this.
Look, dude, rarely am I the voice of reason. But as a gay black man, let me say something. If the neighbors are in fact flaunting in your face the results of the election, and furthermore, the children are also dancing in the streets, knowing that they're rejoicing in your loss, something tells me that maybe for a minute, you were the loud one. Maybe you were the one for 4 fucking years being obnoxious and flaunting and doting your beliefs.
I agree. That's the big if.
Yeah, I don't think for a second that you were like a quiet, law-abiding citizen. And then just strangers randomly started celebrating a victory, which you oppose unknowingly, unwittingly, you know, in your driveway. No, right. Something tells me here that this, like, response and equal response. You know what I mean?
Right. I totally agree. And if this guy was a total asshole to his neighbors and, you know, probably had the... asshole in general, but I'm trying to think about the lifted truck with the Trump flags and
exactly
doing that kind of shit to his neighbors, then yeah, you probably deserve it. At the very least, you deserve the chalk. You definitely deserve the chalk. But it just, you know, even before that, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to take a step back. Like, yes, we're celebrating that Trump lost. I'm not happy about having to flaunt the win against my neighbors and countrymen. I don't want to do that. I want to celebrate, but I don't want to flaunt. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. You know, win's a win. Like, dude, we'll like talk about the numbers. Like, this was an election for ages. And there's two ways to look at it. Like, Trump was so disgustingly polarizing that this many people came out to vote against him.
Yeah.
Or that our system is so disgusting that he barely lost. I mean, not barely, but like, if you look at that map, like a lot of the country showed out and turned up for what essentially is like not somebody we would want to babysit our kids.
Either
Which
side.
not you know, good point. Not that you'd want, like, you know, not that that's a presidential quality, but what I'm saying is like, it's furthermore an illustration of like the system as opposed to the people who participate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having, will you allow me to segue if you don't mind? I'm going to try to do it with equal class.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah. No shit.
I have no
thesaurus. High level. Word. Grade A. Masturbator.
Okay. Thank you.
I didn't mean like jacking off. I meant bait.
Oh, I did.
All right. So, like, as far as it goes with systems and entertaining and intertwining people, I cannot understand at this point in our time in history why we're making more Christians and Catholics. Okay.
They are.
Yeah. And the segue is not in that, like, politics relates to Christians and Catholics. It's just as about established systems drawing people in to reciprocate these fucking beliefs that none of us partake in. I have beloved relatives very close to me that are baptizing their children with homosexual, like, immediate family members. Hmm. And they are taking the homosexual family members, and I'm saying homosexual because I'm trying to describe something we all understand. It's not that I give a fuck whether that's a good or bad term. Everybody knows, like, I don't give a shit about that. Don't fuck with me about gay rights. I've been right there from day one. But why are we baptizing children to be Catholic or Christian? And I've gotten arguments where, like, this new pope believes in gay marriages. No, right. He doesn't. He does not. Mm-hmm. He believes in civil unions where civil unions are allowed. In fact, he will allow you to partake in a civil union outside of Catholic churches. Like, you could do it on the stairs. You could do it on the curb, on the sidewalk. But there, he is not promoting any gay marriage in the Catholic Church.
Got you.
And I knew that going into this argument where someone was like, nah, he has gay marriage. Nope, look it up. And they're like, look, it says he supports civil unions. It's not a gay marriage.
Yeah,
and he doesn't support civil unions across the world. He supports them where they are already legal. That's like a fucking watered down, wishy-washy way of, like, baptizing your kids, you know? So, but what I'm getting at is, like, why are we making more people who hate the ones we love?
I agree. That's probably why I haven't baptized my son.
I didn't baptize Vinny from the moment he was born because I said he'll get old enough he could pick his religion.
I
love him regardless. I'm not going to force that upon him. But, like it, I think it, part of it is, like, ceremony, pomp and circumstance. But those people... So in, I did like a little public survey in this thought, in this theory, and feel free to edit the segment however you need to. But what I came up with is there's two type of Catholics, actual Catholics who genuinely believe that the baptism is giving God the skin and body of that baby. Like, God forbid there be another crusade. You have another warrior here in my child. Because I'm a Catholic. I give you my Catholic. Here's my baby. You can have him. That's one type of Catholic, right? Those hate fags.
Right.
There's no fags allowed in that ceremony.
Sure.
Now we got this other type of Catholic who is more in for it for the comadre, compadre, like godfather. This is my godfather. This is my godmother. They baptize the baby. They usually go to downtown LA. There's usually a lot of classic cars, maybe some oldies, you know, like tamales, taquitos, green sauce. But they are in it for this, like, familial relationship, for this pompous circumstance that, like, this child now has a godmother. Which herein lies, like, the dichotomy. This is the joke of it, is that nobody will give your kid to your godmother, to its godmother. Not in America.
Agreed.
Like, that's totally pretend.
Yeah, I think it's very ceremonial. Yeah.
So there's two Catholics, one actually giving the baby up to Christ, and then one, like, pretending to have a godmother. And both of them, like, circumvent, they, like, what does the world do around the sun? Just circle.
Hey,
orbit around these ideas of hate. Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't say orbit ideas of hate, but they
do. They exist around.
I would say that they would orbit around a hierarchy, a presumed hierarchy that should be respected and adhered to in some form or way, using religion as the reason to adhere to it. And I think that in itself is just bad taste.
But what I'm saying is, like, it's, I've been around a lifetime of gays. And I don't know why we're making more people who hate gays. Whether or not they know it.
Like, I think, you know what we should do? We should make more gays.
I think we are.
I think that's what we should do. Don't make more hate. Make more gays.
No, honestly, isn't this ancient? Like, what are we doing? How is it that, like, politically, we got to accept everybody and entertain every idea? Not that that bothers me. I'm just saying.
Right.
But somehow, religiously, we're still baptizing kids.
Yeah.
Like, first of all right, didn't you and I do a To Be or Not To Be about pink and blue balloons? What's that shit called?
The gender reveal party?
Yeah, and we decided not to be.
Yes, that is a very strong not to be.
Can't we just tack baptisms to the back of that balloon and send that shit to orbit? Like, come on, man. What are we really doing? Nobody's actually being Catholic anymore.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's even being religious anymore. And those who are being religious are not using it correctly.
I'll be even more broad. Like, stop. Like, why are we making people who eat gays? Because that's what religion is, right? There's not an open religion. There's not a religion that's open to gays. Muslim, to my knowledge. Catholic, Christian, Jewish.
Sure.
There must be something dope about being gay. That all the religions. Anyway, sorry. That's a thought for another episode. But like, we're past that.
I agree. Like,
let's just stop making those. You know, no one's born Catholic.
Yeah,
like, why are we giving them our kids?
No one's born anything other than being born human.
So what do we? Why are we making more people who hate the ones we love? Like, I have gay siblings that I fucking love. And they want me, not they want me, but people want me to baptize their kids. I'm like, dude, eat shit twice.
Never going to do
know?
It.
I don't know.
And I feel like if they get upset, they don't understand you. They're not trying to understand you.
No, they just don't. They haven't had, or they're gay. You know?
Like, I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah. I don't know, like.
So when you were thinking this through, did you have an internal monologue about it?
Kind of, and I probably wrote it down, but you already gave me too much credit by saying I thought it through, but okay. Sorry. I did. I actually had an argument with my wife about it, but.
Do you have internal monologues? Do you know what an internal monologue is? I'm sure you do.
I don't. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I do know I have them. It's like when David Letterman talks in your heart, right?
Yeah, sure.
Define it better for me. I think for some reason, I feel like. I smell what you're stepping in, but I don't know the recipe.
Okay, got you. Like an internal monologue. So when you think to yourself, do you hear your own voice? Like you're talking out loud, but not talking out loud. You're just in your head speaking.
Now, do I actually hear my voice that y'all hear, or my voice in my head?
For me, it's my voice in my head. Like it's me. Hello, God, it's me.
Yeah.
But that's an internal monologue. You think in like, you know, thought out sentences and you're talking to yourself.
I do that. But the voice is, it's Bane from the last Batman.
Oh, as it should be. Mm-hmm. So I came across an article where apparently it's been revealed that some people don't have an internal monologue.
What do you mean? They wander aimlessly?
As in some people's thoughts are like sentences they hear. And some people just have abstract nonverbal thoughts and have to consciously verbalize them.
That's me. My bad. I'm the second one.
You have abstract nonverbal thoughts.
No, not necessarily. What I mean is that I hear what you guys hear when you hear it out of me. In fact, sometimes when I hear what I say, I look for the person who said it before I realize I am in fact the one who said it.
Oh, that's an internal monologue.
Oh, my bad. Never mind. Okay. I had that. Yeah. I'm back to the first one. Sorry.
Yeah, abstract nonverbal thoughts. So
there's people who just think non-sequitur. I'm trying to digest but it's me either way.
That's what blew Twitter's mind, is that they're like, wait, they just think about nothing, or they just they're focused on whatever is occurring around them but have no real thought process around it, or their thought process around it is very abstract and non No, nonverbal in the sense that they don't use words.
Isn't that Asperger's? I thought we called that Asperger's.
I don't know what it's called, but it's just an identifying factor. And I was like, wow, like I am one of those people where my mind was blown because I thought everyone thought with an internal monologue.
Okay.
Like you think to yourself, you're like, okay, I'm thinking to myself. Okay. Thinking about like your grocery list, right? So you're thinking about your grocery list. You're like, okay, well, I need to get some dog food. I need to get some potatoes. Oh shit. Blueberries are dope. I'm gonna get some blueberries.
Yeah.
So like that whole sentence occurred in my head by myself. There was no actual talking, no speaking, no use of the vocal cords, but though that sentence actually played out in my head.
And the converse of that would be
crickets, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm out. Yeah.
That's the thing. I can't wrap my head around it. So I was like, I asked my wife and I was like, I don't know. She's like, no, I have an internal monologue.
I love that you brought to the show a half-baked idea that you don't really understand because usually it's me. I don't know, dude. Like you've blown my mind. I don't understand either part of it. Like, cause I feel like I'm a little bit of both because you were saying like you'd walk the grocery store and you go, oh, I need this. I need that. Oh, hey, that's dope. I'll take that too. But I'm also the guy who walks around and just puts shit in that's a familiar feeling. Like, oh, that's good. But without even thinking, just like I kind of like supermarket sweeps it, you know, like run down the cart. That's what I love about Food for Less. I just follow the guy with the big old broom, you know, because I know everything behind him is clean.
It's like a linebacker. So
I don't know, man. I got lost on this one. I'm so sorry, dude.
That's
I
would have
loved
good.
To entertain it better, but
let's bring it back to sports then, since you can do sports pretty well.
And, maybe let's see.
Don't, I like the Dodgers. Don't jinx it. So there's been a couple years ago, we were recording the show, and the fucking Dodgers lost to the Houston Astros, and they fucking lost the World Series to the Boston Red Sox, and Imagine was super pissed off.
And I had a theory.
Yes, you did. Turns out that they were just cheating out in Houston. But anyways, they finally won. Like you said, they finally won. It was a very joyous, joyous moment. And it wasn't all that joyous for Justin Turner. So Justin Turner, he's the third baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Also the captain.
And he was pulled out of the game, maybe like around the seventh or eighth inning, I forget.
Correct.
And no one knew what the hell was going on. They were just like, oh, Justin Turner, he's gone. Where'd he go? And then it came to light that he tested positive for the coronavirus and had to be removed from the game immediately.
Yes.
Turner then came onto the field to celebrate and take pictures with his team after they won the World Series. At the time, his choice was completely blasted by fans and pundits for putting both the Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays at risk, forcing both teams into getting additional tests and delaying their travel plans. Then there was an investigation by the MLB saying that Turner was encouraged by teammates to join them on the field. Two Dodgers employees gave him quote unquote permission, but Major League Baseball admitted it should have had its own security monitoring Turner in that moment. Question is, was Turner at fault for making the decision that he did? Should he be at fault? Should he be punished?
All right. So I looked heavily into this. One was he celebrated the team with his mask on.
Partially.
What do you mean? His nose looks exposed?
No, he took it off for a couple pictures.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah, he did. So,
all right. Up until newfound information, my argument stood as this. He got tested the day before. His test came back inconclusive. A couple other players' tests came back inconclusive. So the day of the game, they decided to do the two-hour test. Major League Baseball is not spending the money to do the instant result test. They're doing like the day to three-day results.
Gotcha.
His came back inconclusive, so they let him start the next game. And they said, hey, dude, we'll do the two-hour test here. Him along with other players. To which the two-hour test came back, hey, you have COVID. By then, they were in the seventh inning of the game. He's not a player on the team like a player on the team. He's the captain of the Los Angeles Dodgers. The people who've gone to the World Series, I don't know, three out of five times, lost, lost to Astros, but he's been, he's like Steve Young of baseball right now before Steve Young finally got a fucking Super Bowl. And so he exits the game. Meanwhile, he pitched, he played. He had the ball, he had the glove, tagged guys out, played. This is all on Major League Baseball. So now they win, right? And the team decides, we don't want to celebrate without our captain. You guys say it's got COVID. We'll all get COVID. We don't give a fuck. We already won the World Series. You can't take it away from us. And he goes out and takes pictures. All the pictures I saw, he was still wearing his mask. He wasn't socially distanced, but he went through the protocol. He did what the fuck they said to do. Major right. League Baseball dropped the ball. They exposed the players. He already fucking played the game. Eat shit. Die again. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And in the end, they did clear him. Now this episode is a week past it. Like, they did decide that they're the ones who fucked up. But guess who they find?
Tim?
No. Nobody. Because Major League Baseball, when they fuck up, there's no one to fucking find.
Okay.
You strictly only find players. Like,
nice.
There, dude, well, I honestly disagree.
I think there should have been some punishment.
For him? For what? Why do you think he should have been punished? What did he break?
If you are told that you have the coronavirus,
okay,
you need to remove yourself immediately. Now,
okay.
I understand that he was already in the game. He was already participating. He was already in proximity of everybody. But it's percentages of exposure to risk, towards risk. Now, the less you're exposed, the less percentage of risk.
He did pull himself out of he got pulled from the game when the result came in.
Yes.
But does the gravity of the fact that it's a World Series matter to you? And I'm not saying it should. I'm genuinely asking.
As someone
or are you who, like, no, if it was second game of the first week.
As someone who loves the Dodgers and someone who wants to see the Dodgers win the World Series, and as someone who wants everyone who worked so tirelessly to participate in the celebration of the Dodgers winning the World Series, as someone who fucking loves that and wants that so much, biology doesn't matter. Biology doesn't care. I'm sorry. I've said this time and time again since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. Biology does not care about your feelings, your emotions, your family, your traditions. Biology does not care.
But how about this? Like, he removed himself from the game. He no longer affected the challenging team. The cooperating team, his team, begged him to come out to take the pictures.
Honorable.
What if biology doesn't care, and biology gets so much credit, the team didn't care. Can't they get equal credit as biology?
I see where you're going with that. And
I mean,
short answer, answer is no. It's different. The team.
So
wants
biology makes better decisions than the players?
No, I'm not saying biology makes better. Biology doesn't make any decisions. Biology is going to do what it does. And biology, in this case, virus is going to infect people.
But, okay, so how about this? What if nobody's infected outside of him from his pictures?
Wait, what?
So he had coronavirus.
Yeah.
He goes out with the team who says, we don't care that you have coronavirus.
Yeah.
We're taking the same side as biology. We no longer care. And none of them get sick.
Yeah.
Then what?
Stupid.
Stupid what?
That's a stupid decision. That's for those who say, like, oh, I'm going to get the Rona, whatever. Okay.
No, I'm saying nobody gets sick. Nobody. Okay. He had his mask.
They don't know that. They don't know that you're putting yourself in front of a risk that is unnecessary. It's an unnecessary risk. Now, if those who want to take that risk, and I say this to everybody, if you're an adult going out there and you're doing what you do and you don't give a fuck about the coronavirus, you don't believe in it, or you don't give a fuck, that's you.
That's not.
But that's what's saying. In your example, right?
No.
Saying is that we don't care if we get the coronavirus.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. They're saying, what I'm saying is they acknowledge the fact that he has it. They're all educated. They're professional baseball players. They know the risk. They don't care.
Yeah.
That he has it.
Yeah.
They already know the science. Yeah. The fact is, we've been playing with you for a week and we don't have it.
Yeah.
So come out and take the picture. Like, you're our captain. We couldn't have done this without you. We won't have it without you.
Yeah.
And then none of them get sick.
Yeah.
So what's stupid? What's no harm, no foul, right?
Well, they don't know that they're not going to get sick.
No, but as of now, this is 2 weeks later, 10 days later, no Dodgers are sick.
It doesn't matter. You still took the risk.
Does matter.
I disagree in the sense that just because no one got sick doesn't make it any less of a threat.
But that's exactly, we're talking about the threat of an illness. So if nobody's getting ill, doesn't the threat, like...
So no one should be punished if it never transpires?
Yeah, like, all right. Terrible analogy. What's the threat of another crime that if it never happened, it's no harm, no foul? You pick.
Wait, what?
Like, what's the... You're punishing someone. So it was a trespassing that took place. Can you name another trespassing that the idea of a trespassing would cause harm? So the idea of him getting people sick merits him being punished, even though nobody got sick. Is there any other trespassing in life that the idea of the trespassing would merit punishing the person?
It's apples and oranges, and here's why.
Okay.
Apples and oranges, because if you take a test and you're told that you have a contagious virus
2 hours after you've been allowed to play.
Yes.
Okay.
After it's been discovered. At which point you then take it upon yourself, like, okay, I've been told I have a contagious virus.
Okay.
That could potentially kill somebody.
Okay.
That's accepted as gospel?
No, he withdrew himself from the game at that news.
Because So he's been told, I have a...
So he's no longer playing.
Yes. He's in the locker room by himself. Oh, no. He's just been told.
No. Okay, so now his family says, we still want to have Thanksgiving with you.
Right.
And so he comes out for Thanksgiving with his family, who know the news of his results.
Yes.
So what, like... I don't understand the trespassing. I don't know who he crossed.
Neither does
the Major League Baseball, because they decide not to punish. The fault lies on baseball. Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from. I think we just disagree on what you're saying, who he trespassed. Who did he, like you said, trespass. Who did he trespass against?
Or what trespass took place? Not even who did he, because I would say that whatever your trespass is, I would say we agree that he put in jeopardy the members of his team. I think we could agree about that.
Yes.
Okay, but I don't understand where baseball thinks they have a place to punish him.
I think that
they fucked up the test. They should never let him play. Sorry,
The failure to acknowledge your social responsibility, I think that is why we're still dealing with the coronavirus today. Okay. It's fucking November. If more people understood the social responsibility of their actions in potentially spreading a contagious virus, if more people understood that, we would not be where we are.
But what I'm saying is that's not what took place here.
I think that's what took place. And furthermore, in regards to MLB punishing him, he acknowledged that I presume the players acknowledged that they would not be allowed to play if found that they had tested positive for the coronavirus.
Correct.
And in doing so would be a violation of that agreement.
Yeah.
Which Justin Turner then violated that agreement.
No, he didn't. What's your understanding of what happened? He tested before the game. 2 hours into the game, his results came out. And they said, hey, bro, you tested positive. And then he withdrew from the game.
Yeah.
He didn't play the game knowing he was positive.
Agreed.
I don't think you have an accurate understanding of what took place, bro.
No, I clearly do. That's insulting.
No, you don't clearly do. You actually clearly have a misunderstanding. So what do you think took place? You think he played knowing he had a dirty test?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, because you did just say that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying his agreement to MLB is not to participate in the game and or any celebrations there within.
That's
let me
how
let
do
me,
you know
let,
that?
Let me
you read his agreement?
I'm assuming. Come on, Motion.
No, well, you're saying something different than what you just said. You said that he wouldn't play if he had a dirty test.
I did say that.
And that he did do that. But he didn't do that. That's what I'm saying.
So allow me to clarify.
I will.
MLB.
But speak from a place of knowledge, not assumption.
Well, neither of us can speak from a place of knowledge because we don't have any of that knowledge.
We didn't read shit?
I'll leave it to the viewers. I think I've made my case. If the viewers get it or listeners get it.
Wait, cool. Why are you being dismissive now? No, hold on. Because
we have the rest of the episode to do. But if you want me to continue, we'll do the rest of the episode. Cool.
So, no, fuck it. Let's do the rest of the episode. We'll be equally dismissive. Go ahead.
So.
I got a quick question here.
Shoot.
It's a great time for old white guys. One got elected president again, and another one is the first vice president husband of all time.
You sent me that video of him like freaking out when like the confetti cannons were launched.
Oh, dude, you had the best response of everybody I sent that video to.
Yeah, he's gonna have four years,
dude. Michelle Obama did not freak out when a fucking balloon popped.
That's probably true. I think that's very.
Oh, I got another quick question that's genuinely funny and friendly.
That other one was funny.
Thanks. What's the point in having a family if someone isn't constantly telling someone else up your butt?
What's the point of having a family if someone is not constantly telling you up your butt?
Telling someone else up your butt. Like, so whenever like we go, hey, where's the remote? Someone will be like, up your butt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, hey, does anybody know where the car keys are? Up your butt.
Yeah, it's
a constant up your buttness in my house, dude, and I fucking love it. I love it.
That's the true meaning of family right there.
Yeah, dude, it is, man.
So in closing for the election, you sent me an article that I wanted to touch on.
Let's talk about that.
San Francisco voters passed an overpaid executive tax. So it was formerly known as Proposition L. And it will charge any company that does business in San Francisco and has a top executive earning over 100 times more than their typical local worker.
Yeah.
They must pay a 0.1% surcharge on their annual business taxes. And that surcharge increases by 0.1% per factor of 100, topping out at 0.6%. So top earners making 200 times more than the average worker would pay 0.2% tax and so on.
I love the idea. All right.
But here comes that big up your butt.
Exactly. Up your butt. First of all, there's a million loopholes. It's way easy to get out. But here, let me tell you my biggest problem with it is that I'm totally okay with a CEO making 6,000 times more than its median employee. But okay. I would like to see an institution in which where if that happens, you have to employ better rather than pay a tax. Because, look, by nature, business owners are taught to avoid tax, to ditch and dodge. So what's going to happen here is they're going to hire less entry-level people. They're going to take care of lower-end people way fucking less, or they'll just get paid 99 times as much as the median. What they're going to do is build up the median employee and then take 99 times. Did you see the fucking size of that? Sorry. You saw it, right? You saw that mosquito? It was the biggest fucking mosquito. We're in a Zoom call. You guys are listeners, but a mosquito the size of a 747 just came from my eyebrow. Anyways, they're going to like get rid of low level employees, build up their median employee, and then take 99 times that person's salary and live out. what we need to do is reward good businesses, not tax them. Like, what makes you think that I feel like San Francisco is the biggest piece of shit on the planet right now? I still don't know why we just elected their DA to some huge level shit.
The San Francisco DA became our DA.
Yeah, right? Like, that's disgusting. San Francisco is gross AF, bro. It's one of the worst places on the planet right now.
Sure.
And still high five to Oregon. Anyways, like, it's, they shouldn't be teaching our policy, number one. And number two is, like, why don't we, instead of taxing someone who like, if they get to that level, I would love to own a business where I can make 200 times the median employee does. That's fucking phenomenal.
Sure.
But if that was wrong, if we decided socially that that's unacceptable, I would rather give my money to, like, a charitable cause than the government. Especially a government in which there's an app that tells you where to avoid the shit on the side of the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I think this is a great example between two perspectives wanting the same end goal, where, you know, we want the leaders of a company to thrive, flourish, and, you know, earn the successes that they reflect, right? And then you also want, you know, workers to reflect their ability to, you know, do the job and be paid well and so on and so forth. And your disagreement of the tax is somewhat aligned with my support of the tax, where I like the idea. I like the taking action. It's kind of like my previous conversations about gun control. I don't know what the fuck needs to get done, but something needs to get done.
Yeah.
Take a step. And I think this is that. I'm not sure I'd like it, because, like, just to your point, I'm not sure I want more money being viewed as a punishment, as a tax being taken away from a successful company and then put into the government, and we don't know where the fuck that money goes.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea that the great inequality between an average worker and their CEO being addressed, because it's ridiculous.
And I love that it's taking place in San Francisco, because nothing's built there. So it's like a great place to run this, like, social experiment.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where it goes. I mean, I would, if there was more, you know, accountability, and I would love to see some receipts for government spending so we could determine where that money's going. And at which point we can determine if it's a good tax or not. And if it's a driving factor towards adjusting pay scales. And if it's not, then clearly this wasn't a good idea. I mean, it's ineffective. Just let it be, and new law of the land. Or it should be taken back and tinkered with and try a different idea and maybe employ some of the things that you had outlined. This is a great example of, there's a problem. We don't know what to do. An idea came up. It's been voted in. We're going to see how it goes. If it works, great. If it doesn't, let's bring it back and try something else. But it's a step. It's something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I thought it was a really cool story.
I thought so too. Like, I'm interested in it, yeah. But I also trust zero things that come out of San Francisco.
Except the gays. The gays are cool.
No, I think the gays went to San Francisco. I don't think they come out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they came out first and then they went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Got it. Cool. All right, man. You want to do some you-know-whats?
Yeah, let's do it, dude. You got one to start?
I do.
All right, you hit it first.
Cool. Hey, man, you know what?
What's that?
All the trolls claiming to build a wall these past 4 years need to be immediately placed under the bridges that we're going to build in the next few years, right where they fucking belong.
Oh, yeah?
Get what I'm saying? Trolls, bridges, walls?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure the cleverness was appreciated.
It was, absolutely. But who's going to build those bridges?
You know, that's where the faith comes in. I'm having faith. The faith and the accountability of the American people towards the Biden administration. I saw a funny meme where it was like Homer Simpson, where he does the Bush, he does the Bushes thing, where he kind of backs up.
Yeah,
Bushes.
Where he dips out.
Yeah, yeah. So in 2016, it was go Bernie. And then he goes in the Bushes and it comes out, go Jill Stein.
And
this year it was, you know, go Biden. And then Biden wins, and then Homer goes into the bushes, and then Homer comes out of the bushes, and he has a Molotov cocktail and a t-shirt that says, fuck Biden. Okay, that's me. That's how I'm identifying. I wanted Biden to win so Trump could lose. But now that Biden's in, I'm not going to let go of the gas pedal. We're just going to keep pushing on, and I'm hoping that we see progress with this administration. And if not, then we hold his fucking feet to the fire and get rid of him too.
All right. You know what?
What?
I'm okay with the internet.
Oh, that's good.
But, well, hold on.
Oh.
We got to treat it like a library.
Oh.
There has to be a very clearly defined fiction and nonfiction section.
Hmm.
Like when you walk into the internet and you hit that nonfiction section, you start to see a Dr. The fiction section, you start to see Dr. Seuss and Goosebumps. You're like, oh, it's a little weird. Oh, obviously we're in pretend land.
Right.
We got to figure that shit out.
I agree.
I don't like that it all looks the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I thought that was going to be bigger. Your turn.
No, I completely agree with you.
Oh, hold on. Let me couple it with this other little one.
Okay, yeah.
You know what?
What?
If you want to meet the press, you got to press the meat, bro. All right, go on. Now, those were my two throwaways.
Okay.
Your turn.
Hey, you know what?
What's that, my man?
Psychics need to stop asking for clients to schedule appointments. If you're a psychic, you fucking know when I'm coming, right?
I'll fucking 1,000 with you. Keep going. Talk about it, brother. Talk about it.
We were driving home from Target, and we passed one of those fucking psychic houses. You know, they converted a house into a psychic place of business. I don't fucking know. But it said, you know, by appointment only with a phone number. And I was kind of like, that's fucking stupid. Why got to schedule an appointment if you knew I was going to come? Like, it just defeated the purpose. And as I was writing it down in my you know what section, I was like, I'm pretty sure someone's said this joke before. But it was original to me, so I'm going to say it anyways.
Yeah, fuck it. No, I'm with it. Like, don't edit that out. I don't like when psychics tell us shit that we're supposed to know. It's like, call me and tell me the cookies are burning, bitch. Other than that,
you know? That's funny.
All right. You know what? I got one more you know what, but I want to save it till I'm more articulated because it comes with a lot of fuck offs. And people that I've decided that I need to publicly denounce.
Okay.
But I don't want to do it sloppily.
Okay. Say for next week? Or?
Yeah, next week.
Okay, cool.
I will say fuck Andy McGaw. I hope he dies.
Cool.
How about this? I love in the worst way, bro. You know what?
What?
I love in the worst way.
You love in the worst way.
Yeah, like I give all of the best qualities that someone who should love loves.
Yes.
Like devotion.
True.
And loyalty.
True.
And honesty.
True.
But honestly, I'm uncomfortable as fuck.
How so?
Like it hurts and it tweaks, it breaks and it bends to like be in love with me. And instead of always arguing with me, because, like, people want so badly for me to be wrong.
Mm.
Prepare to accept that, like, if you're arguing with me, you're just another member of the rest. Like, you're going to be someone who wants someone who makes sense to fucking trip, fail, and fuck up on the things they've said.
Mm.
So being with someone unique doesn't make you anything but someone who's been with someone who's unique.
Okay. All right? Yep. That makes sense.
Just receive that.
Yeah.
The pain is not coming from someone hurting you. The pain is coming from you not loving someone with the same energy. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I should have not followed that, but I did.
You did. Thank you.
I did.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we're artists.
There was a couple times it got wobbly, but I was like, no, I get it. I'm following.
We're artists. Like, it's hard. We're hard pills to swallow.
True.
But if you fuck up with us, it would be so easily to place the blame on like a misunderstood person.
Yeah.
But also like you're creating your pain. Like I'm not hurting you.
Yeah.
You can tell everybody I am.
Yeah.
But in truth, like, you know what? You're not being nearly as dope as me in this place.
Yeah.
And that hurts you.
That comes from an artist's perspective, like just being honest all the time with your art. You can't help but just let it spill over when you love. Because you love your art. You love your art. You love whatever it is else you love. And that love is sincere. Sincere. Yeah. Sincere and genuine and real and raw. Yeah, I get that.
You got any more, brother?
No, I got one, but it's definitely not going to follow up in that. That's for sure.
Oh,
cool.
Hey, how many people do you think like get these? You know what's at the end of the day, like.
Oh, I think people who tune in for the whole duration of the show look forward to the you know what's. I know I do.
Yeah,
this shit's hilarious.
All right. Well, I love you guys.
Love you too. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, want to remind you to subscribe and leave us that 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in that Venmo at Social Nuisance, become a short sponsor, and we'll shout out or sponsor whatever the hell you want us to. And lastly, don't forget there's power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name's Imagine. That's the main man, Motion. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Hey, do you remember the time you told me that Justin Bieber? Fuck, I ruined it.
2 weeks in a row. Fuck that up.
Jesus Christ.